You're listening to Stories of the Master. The stories of Jesus have reached into the hearts of millions. They have changed people, families, and nations. Not all have loved the stories Jesus told. Not all have honored the life he lived. Some were angry with him, the things he did and the things he said. Others were deeply moved and found hope. What will your response be? Today on Stories of the Master, whose side are you on? And as taken from Mark 3 and Matthew 12. I hope you will follow along in your own Bible. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your storyteller and teacher. I'm so glad you're here. Gather your friends, come close, and listen. It's time for the world to hear again the stories of the Master. And now, whose side are you on? James, Joseph, Simon, Jude, four men, brothers, and their two sisters were together and talking among themselves. But their topic was not themselves. It was another family member they were talking about, someone causing them great concern, a brother, the oldest. They were talking about Jesus. For a year, Jesus had been gone. He had left his carpentry business and headed south to hear the preaching of John the prophet. That was fine, to go for a while and return. But Jesus had not returned. It's not just that he was not home. It's the other things that were concerning. Reports circulated that Jesus had gone into the wilderness for many weeks, a dangerous place. And as time went on, other reports came of other activities, preaching, and rumors of miracles. One Sabbath he had been home in Nazareth, but only to speak in the synagogue. Again, that was fine to read the Torah and to comment upon it. He had done that growing up as a young man, but when he claimed that the kingdom prophecies were fulfilled in him, well, that was a family embarrassment. The brothers and sisters often talked to their mother about Jesus, but she was steadfastly loyal and said that they must leave him alone, that he had a mission from God, and they had no idea how special he was. The brothers and sisters were content to let matters rest for a while. They loved their mother and did not want to upset her, but as the weeks turned into months, and Jesus had not come home, their concern grew. Mother, we simply must bring Jesus home. He is not well. Something is wrong with him. Another said, he's lost his senses. He thinks he is the Messiah. Yet another said, do you know what he's done now? He has selected 12 men to be his apostles. He thinks he has authority to choose men to follow him as if he is some great rabbi. One of the sisters said, what I am concerned about is the Pharisees. You know how influential they are. Their anger towards Jesus is building, and I heard they're now plotting to kill him. Mother, please, I know how you feel about Jesus, but you simply must come with us. He may not listen to us, but he will listen to you. We have to bring Jesus home before something bad happens. All right, I do not agree with you, but I will come. Mary had ample reason not to agree. She had seen at least one miracle that he had performed, turning water into wine. And she remembered what the angel had said to her many years before, that he would be a miracle child, the Son of the Most High God, and that in him the kingdom of God would come. But how could she explain that to her children? They would think she was crazy if she told them those details. But off they set to find Jesus, the brothers and sisters to talk some sense into him, and Mary, hoping against hope that Jesus would prove himself to them and that everyone in the family would believe. Mary wanted peace in the family, but most, she wanted them to know who Jesus was. As they headed from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his disciples were busier than ever. Everywhere the crowds followed. On this day, many were coming in and out of the house. So many to talk to pray for, to heal, and to teach. They did not even have time for a meal. But on this day, it was not busyness that would be their problem. A great conflict was about to begin. Two men worked their way through the crowd and approached Jesus. One had a look of great concern. The other had a look of fear, even wildness in his eyes. He could not speak, but only make noises. He could not see, yet it seemed he was aware of things unseen. "Jesus, this is my friend. We have grown up together and shared many wonderful times. Yet something has happened to him. For months, he complained that he felt like someone or something was haunting him. And then one day he screamed and convulsed as if something dreadful was taking control. Ever since, he has not been able to see and he has not been able to speak. Is there anything you can do for him?" Jesus looked upon the man and instantly knew what the problem was. His blindness and muteness were only a symptom of something far deeper. Jesus thought on the man and his family. He thought about how this man was a picture of his own family, blind and unable to speak the truth of God. Jesus thought on his nation. What a fitting picture for the people of God, blind to the things of God and unable to speak the truth clearly and simply. Jesus looked around the room. Many Pharisees were watching closely. Jesus knew what he must do, but also knew the price he would pay. On other occasions, Jesus had healed men, but because he did them on the Sabbath, the Pharisees were infuriated. They did not believe healing should be done on the day of rest because healing was work. How foolish, Jesus thought. The Pharisees will lead their sheep to water or pull an animal out of a pit on the Sabbath. They will help an animal, but I can't help a man made in the image of God. Jesus thought on another occasion when he had forgiven a paralyzed man of his sins. The Pharisees were equally upset about that. But to prove that he had authority to forgive, Jesus healed the man. Still, they did not believe. Jesus then thought of the woman who had anointed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. His heart had been touched by the woman's humility and adoration. But the Pharisees were appalled. They just didn't get it. They might never get it. Jesus looked at the man who stood before him, eyes unfocused, looking around wildly, noises coming from his mouth. And then he said with a firm voice, "You evil spirit of blindness and muteness, come out of this man." The man fell to his knees, groaned loudly, and then convulsed as if something dark and dirty was coming out of him. The evil spirit had come out, and the man said, "I can see. I can talk. Thanks be to God." But not everyone was thanking God. The Pharisee sitting in the room said, "This man is casting out demons by the power of Satan. He is not from God. He is from the evil one himself and is trying to trick us. He's trying to get us to follow him, and he will lead the nation astray." But Jesus looked at them and said, "How can you say such things? Every kingdom that fights against itself will be destroyed. Every city Every family where discord is sown will be lost. You say, I am from Satan? If Satan forces out his own minions, then he's fighting against himself, and his kingdom will not survive. But if I use the power of God's Spirit to force out demons, then this shows what I have been telling you all along. God's kingdom has come upon you all. God's kingdom is here, and he is working to restore his people, like this man who can now see and speak. The Pharisees stood up in astonishment, and one of them said, The kingdom of God? You say you are bringing in the kingdom of God? They stared at Jesus with anger in their eyes. But Jesus did not back down. He had been wanting to say many things to these rulers of the people, and now was the time to say them. And when we come back, we'll hear what Jesus said and what he did. Hello, everyone. This is Jonathan Williams, the creator of and storyteller for Stories of the Master. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word for life change, a biblical worldview, and connect your story with the story of Christ's love. Please pray for us as we take these stories to a world that desperately needs to hear about the Savior of mankind. You can reach us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209. Check out our website, storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. Jesus has cast out a demon, but the Pharisee said he was doing his miracles by the power of Satan. Let's get back now to our story and see what happens next. Jesus had cast a demon out of a man who was blind and unable to speak. Now the man could see and talk. What a glory to God! But the Pharisee said that Jesus was doing this by the power of Satan. And Jesus replied, If I use the power of God's Spirit to force out demons, this shows that God's kingdom has come. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the reign of God upon the earth. It was the hope of every devout Jewish man and woman. The people of God had seen the tyranny of the Egyptians and the Assyrians, the Babylonians and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. But the prophets held out the hope that one day God's kingdom would come and replace them all. God would rescue his people, and his reign would extend throughout the earth. This, after all, was why God had created the world. God did not create the world to be a place of evil, injustice, and tyranny. He created the world that it might be a paradise of praise for him, and a place where justice, righteousness, peace, and prosperity would prevail among the nations. How the Jewish people longed for the coming of this kingdom, and they cherished the words of their prophets who foretold it. When John the prophet came preaching, he said the kingdom was at hand. When Jesus read God's word in the synagogue in Nazareth, he read from the kingdom promises and said they were fulfilled. And now he was casting out an evil spirit and was saying that the kingdom of God had come to his people. What better way to demonstrate the power and the reality of God's kingdom than showing victory over the power of Satan? It was the power of Satan, after all, that had led humanity away from God in the first place. Since the Garden of Eden, the power of Satan had spread its deception in the world and was leading humanity further astray. It was the power of Satan that was behind the pagan empires of the world and their idols. What better way to inaugurate the kingdom than by binding and casting out Satan's minions? But this is not what the nation had expected or wanted. They wanted a display of power over Rome. They wanted a Messiah who would unite the forces of God's people, arm them with swords, and lead them into battle. But Jesus had to teach them that even though Rome was pagan and opposed to God, it was not the primary enemy. Satan was. Jesus wanted to save Rome, but to save Rome, he had to defeat the power behind Rome that kept it and all the nations in darkness. There was another reality that his people had to face. Satan was not only in control of Rome. Satan had infiltrated and was exercising his power over Israel. It was not Romans that Jesus was casting demons out of. It was Jewish people. It was not Romans who had a spirit of blindness and muteness, but the people of God, and especially their leaders. Jesus continued speaking, and he said, "Let me tell you a story. A thief wanted to enter and rob a house owned by a wealthy man. But the man of the house was also very strong. There was no way the thief could enter and take things unless he first surprised the man, overpowered him, and tied him up. And then, once he did that, he could plunder his home. This is what I have done. I have bound the strong forces that have kept people in darkness and bondage. And now I am plundering the kingdom of Satan. I am rescuing people who have been imprisoned by him. This is what I am doing, and I invite all of you to join me in this great work. But heed my warning. If you are not with me, you are against me. Anyone who does not work with me works against me." Oh, these were strong words. But the attacks against Jesus were strong. The words were a warning, but they were also an invitation. Jesus was giving everyone a choice. Whose side were they on? They could stand with him in his great work to deliver people from the power of Satan, or fight against him, as the Pharisees were doing at that time. "Whoever is not with me is against me," Jesus said. Jesus wanted the leaders to unite with him in a great work to purify the people and to cleanse the land from evil. But if they would not work with him, then they would work against him. There was no middle ground. Tension filled the house as Jesus and the Pharisees stood opposed to one another. And then Jesus said, "I want all of you to hear this. Every sin, every blasphemy, every word spoken in derision of me, I will forgive. But when you see the power of God's Spirit at work and say, 'This is Satan,' this will not be forgiven. Speak against me, I will forgive. Speak against the Spirit of God, you will not be forgiven. Not now, not in the future. I know these are hard words, but if you want good fruit, you must pick fruit from a good tree. If you don't, if you select a diseased tree, you will have bad fruit, and a tree is known by the kind of fruit it produces. Do you not understand? Do you not see the good fruit I am producing? The change in lives, the healing from sickness, the deliverance from evil. You snakes, you are so blind. No wonder you are saying these evil things about me. What people say with their mouths comes from what fills their hearts. Those who are good have good things stored up in their hearts and say good things. But those who are evil have hearts full of evil. And that's why they say evil things, such as the things you are saying. I tell you the truth. Every person will answer for all the careless things he says. Your own words will judge you on the day of judgment." There was no mistaking it. Jesus had indeed raised the stakes with the leaders of Israel. Previously, he had healed people and answered their questions. But now it was time to let them know exactly where he saw them. They were not the children of God. They were the children of snakes. They were the offspring of poisonous vipers. But the Pharisees did not easily back down, and they issued Jesus a challenge. All right, Jesus, you say that your works show that God's kingdom is among us. We want to see you do a miracle. Give us a sign from God, right here, right now. What? Had not Jesus just done a miracle in front of them? Wasn't a blind man now seeing? Wasn't a man who could not speak now talking? How many other miracles had Jesus done? Had he not healed a paralyzed man? Told a man who could not walk for 38 years to rise up? And the man rose up? And he even raised people from the dead. What more could he do to convince them? Jesus knew the request was ridiculous. And even if he did another miracle at that moment, they would not believe. And so he said, "An evil generation, a generation that has abandoned its love for God and gone after other gods, craves for a sign. But I will give you one sign." You know the story of the prophet Jonah. His story will be the sign. He was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, and then he came back by the power of God. In the same way, I, the Son of Man, will be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, and then I will return. Jonah preached to the great city of Nineveh, and they repented. They will stand with this generation at the time of judgment and will condemn it because they repented. But you resist God's work. And something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of Sheba. She will condemn this generation. She traveled long miles from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And something greater than Solomon is here. I have cast out the evil one from a man, restored his sight, restored his speech, and made him whole. He is now free from the spirit. But beware, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. And then the evil spirit says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds that place unoccupied, swept and put in order, but unoccupied. And then it goes and takes along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with you, for you are an evil generation. The man who was blind and mute was a picture of the entire nation. But the nation, rather than finding deliverance from the power of Satan, would go deeper into it if they did not listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus was saying that the entire generation, the entire culture had become evil, testing God and demanding signs rather than developing faith and a heart of compassion. The entire culture had become adulterous. Rather than faithfulness with God, the entire generation was seeking other spiritual lovers. Some were seeking the favor of Herod Antipas, others the traditions of the elders, and still others revolutionary zeal against Rome. But they had forsaken their love for God, and judgment was at hand. Just at that moment, there was a new commotion in the crowd. Jesus' family had arrived. They were astonished by what they saw. A house overflowing with people and no way to get in. One of the brothers asked, "What's happening in there? Why cannot we get to Jesus?" And an old man said, "Jesus and the Pharisees are arguing. They are accusing him of being in league with Satan. But Jesus has not backed down. He has claimed to inaugurate the kingdom of God. It's very tense in there right now. I don't think you'll get in. Who are you? One of the sisters said, It's just as I feared. Jesus is in danger. But her brother said, He's continuing with this Messiah nonsense. Old man, tell him that his mother and his brothers and sisters are here. If we cannot get to him, then we demand that he come out to us. We've had enough of his Messiah fantasies. The man was grieved. He loved Jesus, and he said, What? You do not believe him? But he has saved and rescued so many. Just today, he has cast a demon out of a man. And a few days ago, a woman, a sinful woman, was changed. She's right over... But the man could not finish. The oldest brother said, Look, I don't want to hear your stories. Enough is enough. He's lost his mind. It's time for him to come home and live a sensible life. Tell him his mother and his brothers and sisters are outside waiting. The old man worked his way through as the crowd parted. He had come to love Jesus. He had heard his teaching and seen his power and rejoiced. What would Jesus do? Would he leave? Was all of this just some big mistake? His heart was grieved, and when he reached Jesus, he said with great sadness, Jesus, Master, your mother and your brothers and sisters are here. They're all standing outside, and they wish to speak to you. And one brother said, Enough is enough. You've lost your mind. It's time to come home and live a sensible life. Will you leave us, Master? The crowd was stunned. It was clear that Jesus was doing mighty works, but the leaders rejected him, and now his own family showed that they did not believe. What would Jesus do? How would he respond? Every voice in the house stopped. The Pharisees were quiet. The disciples were still. And the old man looked at Jesus with fear in his face. And then Jesus said, Who are my brothers? Who really are my sisters? Who is my mother? Jesus then placed his arm around the old man and said to him with a smile on his face, Behold, here is my brother. Then he reached out both arms toward those who had been listening to him and said, Behold, all my brothers, all my sisters, all my mothers, these who do the will of God, these are my family. The old man began to cry. The disciples in the crowd rejoiced in the love of Christ. The Pharisees fumed, and Jesus' family continued to wait outside, missing the celebration of God's new family that was being born in the world. What a day of conflict it was for Jesus. And on that day, Jesus drew a line in the sand and told people they must choose sides. They must be for him, or they would be against him. There was no middle ground. And so, I ask you today, whose side are you on? Are you with Jesus, working with him, or are you against him? Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach the truth of God's Word for life change, a biblical worldview, and we seek to connect your story with the story of Christ's love. We hope you will get in touch with us. Write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209 in the United States. Check out our website, storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. My name is Jonathan Williams, and I hope that you've been blessed with this story. I look forward to you joining us for another Story of the Master. Until then, may the Master himself richly bless you.